Friends, it is the day where we celebrate the Reformation, and to me, this image of Bartimaeus is just such a wonderful image of that Reformation and really of spiritual maturity for us, especially as we're kind of in this sermon series on anxious times and the idea of leading during anxious times. Here in Mark chapter 10, we see this character of Bartimaeus where Jesus and his disciples and really a crowd of people are beginning to gather around him, are traveling away from Jericho. And as they are coming into this city, or they're leaving this city, there's a blind man, Bartimaeus, who's sitting on the outskirts begging for probably money, maybe for his daily bread and food, maybe an opportunity to earn an income or some sort of kindness from the people who are there. And somehow he hears that Jesus is coming. This is Jesus of Nazareth. And so he shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." All right, so we know right away that Bartimaeus had to have heard of Jesus before this day, because he doesn't just know him as a person, but he has somehow heard of his connection and his relationship to King David and to the prophets and to his lineage. But then he's also heard the things about Jesus, what he has done, and he's heard about his heart for people, how he shows mercy. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming, Bartimaeus cries out to be noticed, to be seen by the one who he believes can really make a difference in his life. He cries out to Jesus. And when he does, right, the crowd of people recognize his frailty. They recognize his need, and they push him to the front of the line to be seen by Jesus right away, right? No, that's not so much what they do, right? They actually have kind of the opposite reaction. They sort of react how we might react if someone in this room started kind of talking or shouting or making noise right now. And some of you are going, "Well, isn't there one person already doing that?" Yeah. But like at a movie, that's the kind of vibe where it's really kind of inappropriate in that moment they feel. And so they actually tell him to quiet down. Hey, keep it down. We want to hear Jesus too. We want to hear these words of life coming from him as well, right? But Bartimaeus doesn't stop. He doesn't seem to care. He cries out all the louder, "Son of man, have mercy on me." You know, I can imagine being Bartimaeus in that moment. And I think if you can close your eyes for a moment, you might be able to imagine as well the vulnerability that comes from being in a crowd of people and not really being able to see them clearly, to not really know how many and who is moving around you in that moment, and on your own, just not really having a prayer, not having a hope of getting out of that circumstance. And so you hear that Jesus is coming, and you cry out to the one who can save you, but it's like the whole community of people is trying to keep you from him and from his presence. Maybe you start to feel self-conscious. Maybe I should just stop. Maybe I should just back down and kind of let Jesus pass by. Maybe I'm not the most important person here in this moment. He's got a lot of things to do. After all, he's the Son of David, and how would he even care about this little old me? But you keep hearing the footsteps move closer to you. And so maybe that gives you hope then. He continues to move closer. Maybe I can keep on crying out for him, but then you hear the footsteps stop. And you must think, what's happening in this moment? And then you maybe hear his voice for the first time. And he says, "Call him." I just love that beautiful image of Jesus not calling him directly, but using the crowd, using the people around him to call him to Jesus. And isn't that our role so often in the lives of the people around us, to call them to Jesus? This is what I think of when I imagine an image of the Reformation, an image for our anxious times. Not the Jesus character, but the Bartimaeus character. In our fallenness, in our sin, we don't have a prayer. We don't have any hope. We can't see each other clearly. We can't see God or his plans clearly. We're just sort of leaning on the people who have told us about him or taught us about things. We're trusting that they have led us in maybe the right direction. But when we get close to Jesus, we cry out to him to have mercy on us. And it seems like, right, there are people all around sort of opposing us, telling us to just sort of keep quiet, you know. Go with the flow. Just sort of quiet down. Don't rock the boat, right? But Jesus, he hears us. And he sends other people to draw us in to him. And then he speaks that those gospel words to us that heal us and forgive us and restore us. Right? So they called to the blind man. They said, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, throwing off the thing that marked him, right, as one who needed help and needed protection, the very garment that he would use on those cold nights that was probably dirty and soiled and it was used to cover him so that people wouldn't see him in his shame and protect him. He throws it off and he jumps to his feet and he runs to Jesus. He says, and Jesus shows him such mercy. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" There it is. It's okay. I got you, Dave. "What do you want me to do for you? And do you want me to just sort of do what everyone else is doing and maybe throw you a denarius? Or maybe give you a loaf of bread? Maybe lead you somewhere where you could get a hot meal or a shower? Or do you want me to really go deeper and take care of the real need of your heart? What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says what we would only imagine to be the most obvious. He says, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." See, the Word of God is so central in this text, and it was so central for the Reformation, and it's still central for us today. It's the Word of God that our parents, our grandparents, our Sunday school teachers, our Bible study leaders, our pastors, and our church leaders have taught us. It's the hunger and it's the reliance on the Word of God that seems to be so repulsive to our world today. And it's the Word of God that creates faith and removes the blindness of our sin. And it makes us well. But we need to hear the sound of the word of that gospel proclaimed to us, because we know only too well what the opposite word sounds like. We know what it sounds like to hear that word of the law that accuses us, that tells us, "How dare you call yourself a peacemaker when you have so much conflict in your own life?" Right? That word of law that it says, "How dare you pray, your will be done, your kingdom come," when you haven't one time prioritized something above your needs or your comfort or your kingdom. That word of accusation that says you haven't done enough, and one day you will be drawn to your heavenly Father and stand before his throne. Except you won't cheer up. You'll be on your knees, giving an account for the sin that is in your life before Almighty God, and the law will tell you you haven't done enough. The word of the law is so familiar, but that word of the gospel sounds like the voice of Jesus saying, "I know you haven't done enough, but I have done it all." I have won the crown of life, and I have already given it to you in your baptism. That's the word of God that Bartimaeus heard and later the reformers heard. And that's the good news of salvation by grace through faith. That's the word of the gospel that's delivered to you and I in so many ways, even right here today, to cheer up, to get on your feet, because he's calling you to faith in him. Toward the end of the encounter with Bartimaeus, Jesus says to him to go. And the implication there is to go his own way, to continue doing the things that he was going to go and do and kind of walk his path, his journey of faith. Go ahead and continue on. Your faith has healed you. It's saved you. It's made you well. But where does Bartimaeus actually go? After hearing the gospel, Bartimaeus receives his sight, and instead of going his own way, he follows Jesus on Jesus' way. See, the same is true for the reformers. They heard that word of the gospel, and they went Jesus' way. They listened to him. They went and they told others about him. And this is what is so central for us, especially when it comes to anxiety today, because anxiety is a future-focused emotion. It's the specific feeling of anticipation of an event or an experience in the future. And one way to really think about the difference between anxiety and fear is to sort of think about a roller coaster. Fear is the emotion that you experience on the way down that first big hill, right? But anxiety is everything you experience before it, when you're waiting in line, when you're being clicked in, when some 15-year-old tells you to put your hands up in the air so they can check, and you say, only if you don't tickle. As you click your way up that first hill, that's anxiety, because you're feeling that fear of what you anticipate will come. See, and that's why for Christians, anxiety does not have to dominate our emotions, because our lives have already been dominated by the presence of Christ and his word of the gospel. The psalmist says this, we just heard a moment ago in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He's present the whole ride. And he's willing to be found in times of distress. The psalmist goes on to write, when the earth gives way and the mountains seem to rage and roar, when society is chaotic and you've got kingdoms raging and battling against each other, God is willing to be found. And Reformation Sunday is encouraging us to take it even a little bit more personally. Even when I have gotten to my worst, even when I am suffering from the effects of my entire life, Jesus is still willing to be found in that place, speaking his word of comfort and promise and encouraging us, often through our brothers and sisters, to cheer up, to get on your feet, because he's calling you. See, that's how the gospel sounds to me. It's an invitation to lean against his constant presence and to feel the warmth of the glow on your face, to help you recognize him in all the ways that he's showing up in your ordinary life, the ways that he's trying to teach you to come to him in the early morning when you're anxious about the day ahead, or to come to him when the blur of a workday has caused you to lose your entire agenda, or to come to him on those lazy Saturdays when you need to be refreshed and restored, to come to him when you're alone and when you're with others, to come to him when you're busy and when you're bored, to come to him when you're inspired and when you're frustrated and when you're disappointed and when you're anxious and every place in between. Because if you know his heart, his gentle and his humble heart, like Bartimaeus, you'll want to come. And you will actually long for tomorrow and whatever it may bring, because it's another chance to hear his voice, to feel his presence, and to take hold of the crown of life that he has already won for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for hearing our cries, for not passing by, but for stopping and for inviting us to follow you. Help us to trust your word, even when the world's voices tempt us, shout to us otherwise. Open our eyes to see you more clearly and to find joy in your presence today and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.